The Believer's Walk of Faith is paid for by Bill Winston Ministries partners and viewers.
This new economy, kingdom of God, has a whole new culture. How do I get from where I was to where I'm going to be now? I've crossed over. I got to start with my mind. When you stop living off of a paycheck system, everything changes. You got to have guts enough, though, to know, wait a minute, that job is not my sort. Come on, that company is not my sort. And once you do that, God speaks to you in a different way. We've been over here working too hard. You're in the Sabbath. In the Sabbath, you rest. How do I get from where I was to where I'm going to be now? I've crossed over. I got to start with my mind. So I got to come in this Bible and find out that I'm not dying at 70 years old. That, come on now, that the people that died at 70 years old were disobedient in the wilderness. But God has promised me long life. Now, I'm not talking about living at 90 and can't walk. I'm talking about also part of my inheritance is strength. Found in Revelation chapter 5, verse 12. And I'm saying to you right now, you're supposed to live long and strong. And what we need to do is start without thinking. We need to start meditating that word and then speaking that word. And your word's gonna have creative ability. And God is able to switch your genes. Lord, have mercy. Now, somebody said, now, show me that in the Word of God. Okay, I thought you were going to ask. Look at Genesis, please, and chapter 30. Genesis chapter 30. Over in Genesis chapter 30, this is where Jacob worked for a man named Laban. And Laban was a trickster. Jacob was too. But Laban was a trickster. So he's going to trick Jacob and so forth. Now, Jacob changed because that's why he had to change to get to where he wanted to get to. He was like Jabez. So he had to change. But in his change, once he got blessed, now he's headed for a change. So he goes and works for Laban's daughter. Well, he worked, 7 years, and then Laban tricked him again. Well, Laban had deceived him 10 times. So now Laban asked him, said, now, what do you want me to pay you? And so Jacob said, listen, don't pay me anything. But this is a revelation. Don't pay me anything. He said, I tell you what, I'm going to still keep your flock. But all the flock that produce spotted, speckled, and striped will be mine. Those that produce plain will be yours. Well, Laban knew that almost all of them produced plain. And so he thought he had him. But he didn't have him because Jacob had had a dream. Or had a revelation. And I'm telling you, when you get a revelation, when light comes in, your struggle ends. When you have a revelation of what God is doing in your life, your struggle will come to an end. Say amen to that. And anybody that doesn't have a revelation, the devil is stealing from them almost. Because you can look at people's lives. You can look at the time where Elisha was surrounded by the enemy soldiers. Y'all remember that? And Elijah, this is in 2 Kings and chapter 6. He said in verse 15, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early, and gone forth, behold, the host compassed the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, master, how shall we do? Watch this. And he said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Check it out. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, come on, open his eyes. I pray thee, what? Open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. Now, let me ask you something. What would have happened if the young man or Elijah had not seen the angels? What would have happened? Well, you can only imagine what would happen. They might have killed him. They might have took him and put him in prison, because the devil is after the prophets. So my point to you is, And notice what he had to do. He had to get his eyes open. And I'm saying that the Apostle Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. He prayed this, that those, he's not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Why? So the eyes of your understanding being lightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance. And to say, take that verse right there, verse 18, and put it up there in the Amplified Translation. I want you to see this because I'm talking about meditating my word day and night. I'm talking about having eyes of your heart flooded with what? Light, that you can know what and understand the hope to which you are, he has called you, and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set apart ones. Now, my point to you is this, that suppose he hadn't seen the angels. Notice, that was part of his heritage. That was part of his inheritance. I'm saying this book is the Constitution and the Bill of Rights showing you all that belongs to you. But if you don't see it, the devil is stealing it. The devil's job is to rob the church blind. It is to take everything because of the spiritual blindness of the church. The church comes and the church listens to the word, hallelujah, praise the Lord, but they don't take anything and go home many times and meditate it so that the light will come so that they can see their inheritance and take advantage of it. God can't pass it on to you if you can't see it. You got to see it for him to give it to you. Are you following what I'm saying? Well, not only that, how about blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10? He sat by the highway side begging. Now, he was physically blind, but he could see. He said, Son of David, have mercy on me. They said, wait a minute, shut up. He's passing by. We have in church. We religious, so why don't you be quiet? He cried out louder because when you're unreligious and you're full of revelation, can't nobody shut you up. And what did he do? He said, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus heard that faith in his voice, and Jesus stopped and said, bring him to me. The Bible said blind Bartimaeus took his cloak and threw it on the floor. Let me tell you, when you get ready for your healing, your deliverance, you won't come out of what you got. He let that cloak go. Jesus said, what can I do for you? Listen what he said, that I might receive my sight. He didn't say your sight, a sight, this sight. He wanted to receive his sight. And what revelation will do will make you see it belongs to you. It don't belong to nobody else. And when you know it belongs to you, you're gonna demand your stuff. Now that's all I got to say about that. Paul said, what the church needs is the church needs some eyes being opened because they're walking around here praising Jesus, hallelujah, kicking over the church benches, but they can't see nothing. I pray to God, your eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Now, from this day forward, you're going to see what the devil been stealing. From this day forward, you're going to see your healing manifested. Spiritually blind are over. I cancel those demons of witchcraft out of your life in the name of Jesus. I break the power of that lack spirit. Now sit down. You think about it. The church should have an unlimited budget. That's the way we ought to function. We ought to have so much at our disposal that it doesn't matter how much it costs. And we're getting there. We're getting there because people like me gonna start preaching it. telling you, that's why a whole lot of people that got a lot of money haven't been in church. Because it's almost like the church gonna look at them like they're some kind of weirdo because they got all that they got. Let me tell you, you've been made for luxury. Think about it. You are a child of the living God. Now, this is not something to have somebody come out here and run out here and go get something greedy, because that's back in the world again, or go get something they can't. They got to pay some mortgages and notes on. This is not something to charge up, run up some bills. This ain't that. This is the stuff that should be transferred. I said, this is the stuff that should be transferred. Boy, I'm preaching better than you saying amen now. See, God knows that if he doesn't supply your needs on this side, you're going to have to go back to the other side. And he is not about to let the devil take care of his kids. God is not. He's a jealous God. Uh-oh. You ain't buying my daughter no lingerie. That ain't going to happen. You ain't buying my son no suit. I'm going to buy him a suit. Say amen. Now, what do we need to do? Learn how to tap into that thing. Come on, because there's no scarcity in it, see? You only run with that because people, well, he got too much, he's got too little. Only because you're doing it, you got a limited supply. But when you don't have a limited supply, it's not a question of that. It's a question of what people need, of what you need. You need that? Okay, come on, dear. I told you, my dream still is to have a big warehouse. This is a huge one. This is a big one. This is one that's got everything in it. I mean, when you get poor people to come to church, what you need? Well, I need some furniture. Go shopping. Go around the building here and enter into the front door, and they got everything in there, washing machines, furniture, couches, come on, beds, so forth, and go buy with no money. We're going to get you on your feet. Now, when you do that, they're going to break the door down trying to get into church. When you're dealing with God, you're dealing with no more limits. He's no respecter of persons. Wow. And what happens? Here comes a stress test. Feed them. What do? Revert back to the world's fear-based, curse-based thinking. Well, I got to leave my job, so forth and so on. I'm not saying don't work, but you're going to work on another level, and your work is not to earn something. Jesus earned it. You're working mainly so that you can get the potential that God has inside of you out, and you can add value to the world. Folks, we can do this. I said we can do this. All right, let's go to another step. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Whew, man. Proverbs chapter 3. Glory to God. Woo, woo, woo. All right, Proverbs chapter 3. All right. Now, if you're under stress, you're not at rest. All right? Let's look at this. Proverbs chapter 3. Now I'll start reading at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own natural logic and understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Keep going. And he's going to direct your paths. Jesus said, come unto me, all who labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you what?
Rest.
All right? So he is interested in you resting, because if you don't rest, God doesn't work. And the way you rest primarily is to get back into faith. Faith is a rest. It is a rest. You need rest. Because when you're not at rest, you're getting anxious. You start toiling. Now the struggle begins. Now fatigue of body and mind comes in. Now you begin to deteriorate. Now it opens up the door to disease and so forth. He doesn't want you there. You're coming to a rest. All right. Now, what is the rest? He said it was the Sabbath. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4, please. How are we doing so far? You wait. Now, I'm getting this in you because it's a revelation, and I've got to take some time to get it in you, but watch what you're going to be once you get this in you. Your worries about money matters are going to go bye-bye. And you're going to live long and what? Strong. Praise God in heaven. All right. Now, we're going to talk about trust, but I want to read this first, because trust really is more challenging, because trust takes patience. Okay? Now, as God gives you a faith thing to do, you have your faith, but faith and trust flow together. In Hebrews here, let's go to verse 4. Let's just start there. For he speaketh in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. And God did what? Rest on the seventh day from all his works. Next verse. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Keep going. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of what?
Unbelief.
Because of unbelief. Just like some people here today. Now I'm sure there's nobody in here, somebody listened to me, but I'm telling you, what I tell you, you know, you can take that and say, oh, I don't know whether I believe that. Well, remember, that's what the world wants. It wants you not to believe the word. The fight is going to be in the word of God. All right? So, as we look at this whole idea of trust. Now, God's riches are held in trust. And they are delivered to those who trust him. If you trust him for supplies, he can trust you for provision. All right? Now, this idea of trust. And what I used last time, I used a picture of Job. Now, I want you to see something here, because the enemy pulled Job into fear. All right? Now, what is the danger of fear? I mean, what is the real danger of fear? Okay. Fear connects you with the curse. Fear connects a person with death, and Satan is the author of death, meaning that he is behind it and behind enforcing the curse. Now, God wants you to trust him with all of your heart. And I'm saying trust where you can't trace. You hear what I'm saying? That because God said it. Let's take a man, for example, named Noah. Are you with me? So here's Noah, and God tells Noah to build an ark. Does anybody have any idea how long Noah was working on that ark? 120 years. God said it's going to rain. Here's some news for you. They had never seen rain in their life. So here is Noah. Now, let me ask you, do you think Noah was going through a whole lot of persecution But did he keep building?
Yes.
Why? Because he trusted what? He trusted the Word of God. And I'm telling you right now, it may look like, because faith got you at a certain place. But when you got there, understand you're in a war now. And in that war, God asked you to do one thing, trust in Him. Matter of fact, one place He said, be still and know that I am God. See, you got to trust Him, because that trust is going to build a relationship with God that you never had before. Say amen to this. And I'm saying with Job, the fact of the thing is, Job had no idea what was around him. Look at Job. Come on back there to Job and look at Job chapter 1, if you will. Verse 9. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? Fear God means have a respect for Him. Have you not made a what? Hedge about it. And about what else? About his house. And about what else? All that he had. Does that include his kids? Does that include his businesses? God had made a hedge around it, but look here. The devil can see something you can't see. See, he knows there's a hedge. And he knows that if he can get you frustrated enough, come on now, then somehow you'll back off your trust in God because you haven't seen it manifested yet, and let it go. And that's what he wants you to do. But Job was different. He said over in Job 13, verse 15, this is what he said. He said, though he slay me, I'm going to stand here till hell freezes over. And Job was out of that thing in 8 months. I'm here to tell you right now, God has seen, He has put something around you. There are angels right now around you. Come on. And the enemy's trying to blind your spiritual eyes. Come on. He's put a hedge around about you, and the devil's trying to get you in fear because he knows fear will block your revelation. And the devil's trying to get you in a war and get you fussing with somebody and so forth. And let me tell you what you need to do. It said, nope, I'm in faith. I'm in trust. I'm going to stay there. I'm going to stay there till the thing manifested. The enemy tried to get me to go back to IBM. I got here. Nothing was happening. My family needed some clothes. A friend of mine went with me downtown. He said, would your son like some tennis shoes? I didn't have any money. I said, yeah, can you help me out, Brother Burke? He said, yeah, let me buy him some shoes. He didn't know it, but before I went in that door, I had to keep them back because I came from a big executive at IBM having all these things. Now I'm down here hoping somebody will buy my kids some shoes, but I had to trust Him. I had to stay there. I said, Lord, I know You're coming through. And people said, Bill Winston, why don't you go back to IBM? I went up there. I had an interview. They were going to hire me back. But then the guy asked me, he said, Bill, now we came in this company way back together. He said, let me ask you something. I can bring you back on. But is this what you're supposed to do? What did I say? I said, no, this is not what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to preach the gospel. He said, well, come on, let's catch a train. Let's get out of here. And I left. But when I left, something broke. I said, when I left and made up my mind that I don't care if hell freezes over, I'm going to stay right here. Joseph Business School. I'm telling you, God is just beginning with me. He's not ending. He's beginning, because you've got unlimited potential in you. If you'll just take that one step and say, I'm going to stand right here until God comes through. You do that, you won't be standing long. Now give God praise. Give Him honor. I want to encourage you. Put that last scripture up there. What David said about trust in the Lord. He said, trust in Him At all times. Say at all times. Doesn't make any difference. See, God not only wants you to come out of Egypt, but He wants you to stay out. And the only thing that can hold you out of there is trust. Because you got an enemy out there. He's an opposer of anything that belongs to God. And he's a fighter. But Paul said this, earnestly contend for the faith. He said to Timothy, because Timothy's faith was waffling. And he said, Timothy, come back to the faith that your grandmother had and your mama had. Watch this. And the DNA track says, I know it's in you also. Glory to God. Faith can be passed down as a heritage. Teach your kids faith. Don't back up on God, and He won't back up on you. This new economy, kingdom of God, has a whole new culture. How do I get from where I was to where I'm going to be now? I've crossed over. I got to start with my mind. When you stop living off of a paycheck system, everything changes. You got to have guts enough, though, to know, wait a minute, that job is not my sort. Come on, that company is not my sort. And once you do that, God speaks to you in a different way. We've been over here working too hard. You're in the Sabbath. In the Sabbath, you rest.
The eyes of your understanding will open when you renew your mind to believe and speak the Word of God that will release unlimited provision and the perfect rest. In Pastor Winston's powerful, life-changing teaching, The New Economy. To order on CD or DVD, contact us online at billwinston.org or by phone at 1-800-711-9327. When God is your only source, your provision is endless for every need met and every problem solved as you live and reign above this world's culture in the new economy. Order the new economy today.
Today's teaching, The New Economy, is part of a two-disc series. Now, in today's message, I emphasize that in our new economy, it's believing and speaking that gives your words creative ability. You recall, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, out of bondage, and went into the wilderness, they never got into Canaan land. I mean, the group, the generation that came out never went in. And the reason why they didn't is because what they believed and spoke. You see, God's plan for you can be abundance. But if you're speaking lack and speaking debt and all that all the time, how can He manifest abundance in your life? Because He cannot violate your free will. So in our lives, make sure. Now, whatever happens or whatever you see or whatever comes into your life or finances or your own economy, make sure you say what God said. Because when you do, God watches over His word and makes it good. Well, this is Bill Winston saying we love you. And until next time, keep walking by faith.
The Believer's Walk of Faith is paid for by Bill Winston Ministries partners and viewers.